Good afternoon and welcome to the September 21st, 2020 meeting of Desert Community Energy Board. Can the clerk please call the roll?
Thank you, Chair. Do we have Cathedral City?
We do, here.
Palm Desert?
Here.
And Palm Springs?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Great, thank you so much. Next item is public comments on agenda items. This is the time for members of the public to address us on agenda items. At the discretion of the chair, comments may be taken at the time items are presented. Please limit comments to 3 minutes. Do we have any public comments?
Mr. Chair, I see no public comments at this time.
Okay, thank you. We will move on to committee member comments, staff announcements. Do either of the other members have any announcements or comments?
I do not.
Staff, any announcements or comments?
No comments, no. Thanks.
Great, thank you. I'll just make one brief comment, which is just want to thank Katie and staff and Patrick from Palm Springs staff for work in really answering a lot of questions that we've gotten and accumulating information to share with the public as things come up. And just really appreciate everyone staying on top of that as the launch moves forward. So thank you for that. And with that, the next item is the consent calendar. We have two items, approving the minutes from the board meeting of August 17th and authorizing the executive director to process a financial security requirement payment to the California Public Utilities Commission for a total amount of $147,000. Does anyone want to take those separately or a motion to approve the consent calendar in its entirety?
I wouldn't mind. I know we have the staff report, but I wouldn't mind getting a brief verbal report from staff on the second item on the consent calendar.
Okay, so that, why don't we just take a motion on approving the minutes from the board meeting of August 17th, 2020.
I would move the approval of the board minutes. Sorry, Sammy.
No, second.
Okay, we have a motion from Cathedral City, second from Palm Desert. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. The next is item 5B. Can we get a staff report, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the Desert Energy Board. This is an item that we placed on the agenda because the CPUC was scheduled to take action at their meeting on on September 10th. And this is a payment that we have already made when we started with DCE back in 2018, a $100,000 bond that is held by the CPUC. That amount is being adjusted based on the determination of the Public Utilities Commission. As it turns out, the commission did not make a decision at their meeting earlier this month, but we placed it on the agenda because once they approve a resolution, we had 30 days to make that payment. So at this stage, we are still waiting and it may not come back on their board agenda until October. I'd be happy to provide further clarification.
I have just a quick question, Mr. Chair, if I may.
Sure. Yeah, please.
Thank you. So I was just curious, Katie, you know, in your report, there's this term, this phrase used, it says to address the cost of a potential mass involuntary return of CCA customers to utility service. What does that mean?
This is a ruling that essentially anticipates the possibility of and some event, perhaps it would be our a change in our operations and essentially provides some cover for the investor-owned utilities.
Okay, I guess nothing that's a realistic expectation, but kind of a cover-all requirement, is that how you see it?
It's essentially something, I mean, we've had the funds on deposit for the last 3 years since 2018, and there wouldn't be an expectation. It's essentially sort of a way that they can address those potential costs if they should occur. And it's unlikely, yes.
Okay.
We count it still in our financial statement as an asset, essentially.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you for that question and the report. Anything else? So we have a motion on 5B.
Yeah, we can move approval. Thank you for the clarification.
I'll second that.
Okay, motion from Palm Desert, second Cathedral City. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Next item is discussion action item and 6A, presentation of on recent heat wave and its impact on DCE and other utilities. We have Jacqueline Haar from the Energy Authority and Don Dame from the DCE Energy Consultant. I believe they will be sharing something on the screen for their presentation.
All right. Yes, Mr. Chair, and as Jacqueline's getting her presentation ready, I just want to briefly note, as of course we have had a heat wave and we've asked Jacqueline to provide an update for you on the impacts of that and some of the recent changes and kind of upcoming events, and then Don Dame will provide a few minutes at the conclusion to identify kind of how that fits in with our overall strategy, our building reserves, and so on. So Jacqueline, please.
All right, can everyone see my shared screen?
Yes.
All right, so let's go ahead and jump in. So as everyone's aware, we had a very large heat wave event in mid-August. You guys probably much more aware than I am up here in the Bay Area in terms of the day-to-day impact. And then we had another heat wave event in September. You know, these heat wave events have a large impact on the energy market and the energy prices. So we're going to discuss the impacts to DCE's program from those heat wave events, and then just a few items on looking ahead on some of the fiscal risks for the DCE program that, you know, kind of correspond a little bit with the general heat wave event discussion. So my first couple of slides are just to give some background on the heat wave event. So the slide that you're looking at right now is the historical summer energy prices seen in Southern California, specifically the load that is in SCE service territory. The dark orange line is from 2017. The yellow line is pricing from 2018. The green line is pricing from last year. And then the red line is this year's pricing. These are average prices over the course of the month on an hourly basis. So, for example, for July, when you see this peak happen, that goes up to close to 200 in the yellow line, that is the evening peak, as you would expect. That's where prices go the highest. And so this is the average evening peak throughout the month. So it kind of gives you an indicator of what each month looked like for each historical year. You know, August and September, when we were first looking at, you know, the summer, particularly in August, we got midway through August before we had any real heat event. In September, we've really only had the Labor Day heat event was, you know, the major drivers in the market. And they're the ones driving these very large price spikes that you see in the red line. So, you know, I just wanted to put this chart to sort of show, you know, how much of an outlier this heat wave event was on energy pricing compared to the past few summers. Going on to the next slide, this is another look at the same historical data. It's a little busier, but I think it's a really valuable look. So rather than thinking of this on a, you know, average over each month in each hour of the day, this is a look at every hour of each month and the pricing for each hour in Southern California. So you know, you can see that the 2018 pricing events occurred over a few days. Likewise, in this summer, in 2020, that mid-August heat event occurred over several days as well. We have the lead up on Thursday, Friday going into mid-August, then over the weekend, very high pricing seen in the early part of the next week, Monday, Tuesday, and so on. And then the smaller red hump in early September is the Labor Day heat event. You know, in terms of was it the highest prices ever seen in CAISO, it's a little hard to compare the CAISO of today to the CAISO of the rolling blackouts in the early 2000s. So it's not going to do that, but it is the highest pricing that we've seen in CAISO for a load service area in the over the past 10 years. So, you know, this one spike that we see of pricing above $1,500 is really remarkable and much higher than what we've seen historically. So moving on, you know, what did that heat event do for DCE's cost of energy? So DCE's cost of energy came in above budget, unfortunately, for August and September due to the two heating events that we had. So the graph that you see here represents two pricing. Orange is the cost that you're paying for the energy that goes to serve DCE's load. And gray is the cost of the hedges and or the benefit of the hedges that we put onto DCE in order to help reduce the spikiness of the pricing. So, you know, in cooler months, hedges are net cost in the program, but then in more hot months, they add benefit and help smooth out the cost a little bit. So you can see that in August, when we had the extreme heat event, you had energy costs significantly above what was forecasted for August, but some of that was offset by the value of the hedges. And we'll get into hedging a little bit more because it's a invaluable thing to understand in terms of how these heat wave events can impact the program and what we can do to help avoid cost impacts. Likewise, we're seeing a higher than average cost thus far in September. Obviously, the month isn't over yet, but we are, right now on average, we're looking like we're going to come in above what was forecasted when we were just kind of looking at the year and, you know, your average summer expectation. And we can come back to any of these slides once we get to the question period, because I know there's a lot of information here. All right, so moving on to hedging. I mentioned that your hedges helped reduce the cost in August as well as in September. And so hedging, you know, it's very complicated, but when you boil it down to its essence, hedging can be thought of as a type of instrument or as a type of insurance. It's very similar in many aspects, really, to insurance that you might put on your car in case of an accident. So you pay a premium, you know, with car insurance every 6 months or every year. And if you have a worst case scenario, like you get into a car accident, the insurance company pays for your costs associated with that worst case scenario. In a similar nature, hedges in the energy industry are something that you pay for, but they on a monthly basis, and you know, just like insurance, you know, it's a cost. It's a cost that you're paying for every month or every 6 months. But the benefit occurs when you have these bad events that would really impact your financial position. The hedges help offset that cost. That being said, energy hedging is a blunt instrument. So the graph that you see here is an illustrative example of what DCE's load looks like in September. So on a daily basis, you see loads go up in the afternoon and the evening hours and then come down overnight and then back up. You can see that loads slowly decrease over the course of the month. There should be, you know, 30 days in there, and loads slowly decrease as you move later into September and the weather becomes cooler. The black lines are the hedging that DCE is doing to help protect against financial risk. So hedges typically come in two varieties, what we call on-peak hours and off-peak hours. And so that's what you see there, in that we have slightly more hedges than on-peak hours and then less that drop down in the black line in the off-peak hours. Off-peak hours are also defined as Sundays, all of Sundays considered off-peak, so to speak, as well as holidays. So, you know, that double black line that stays down a little bit longer than the rest of the pattern in the early part of the month is representing Labor Day. So you have Sunday, which is an off-peak hour, and then Labor Day, which is an off-peak hour. And that's just the nature of how hedges are traded in energy markets. So, you know, T generally purchases the standard heavy hours, on-peak hours, that correspond roughly with when DCE's peak hits in the day, and then off-peak hours. And those are the two sort of products of hedges that we buy. We have looked at doing more specialized hedging, so hedging that would, for example, bump up that black line to more directly meet the evening peak that is shown in the blue line. Generally, those products are not considered, or do not come out as a good financial choice on an expected basis, because the premium for buying something that's not a standardized product is so high compared to the value that you'd expect to get to it. So, you know, to go back to my, you know, car insurance analogy, you know, the way that you would think about this is that, you know, your car insurance, if you get into an accident, will cover anything that happens with your transmission or your engine, but won't cover any bodywork damage that you have. So you get some of your costs insured, but not all of them. Likewise, for DCE, in the August and September events, we had hedges in place to help reduce the financial risk of these energy events, but we couldn't cover it perfectly just because there isn't a hedge that you can buy on the market that will perfectly cover DCE's load. And to try to get that sort of product is very challenging to do and generally not considered a good financial choice, you know, on an expected basis again. You know, we've been talking a lot about over the summer, the value of bringing in renewable resources into DCE's portfolio. Those resources will also serve as a hedge, but won't be a perfect hedge. What they will be doing will be generating energy, sometimes in alignment with DCE's load and sometimes not perfectly in alignment. And so rather than having a hedge that you buy, the energy that the resource is dispatching onto the grid, insofar as it matches when DC's load is, will help offset the cost, because you'll be putting energy onto the grid at the same time that you are requiring energy for your load. And so those two costs will offset, but as I said again, not perfectly, because DCE's load tends to peak in the late afternoon and early evening, and the resources that we're considering for DCE's portfolio, solar and wind, don't generally peak in the late afternoon and early evening. But, you know, they will provide some hedging value that we are including in the consideration of bringing those renewable resources into DC's long-term portfolio. Looking ahead, you know, the main takeaway I want to have for this, you know, the heat events in mid-August and September is that this was a fiscal impact to the program. You know, we know that sometimes we're going to have cool summers and, you know, those hedges will be a cost overall. Sometimes we're going to have hot summers and those hedges will help, but we'll still have a fiscal impact. As you saw, the average rate of the energy costs for August and September was above the expected that was in DCE's financial forecast. So overall, you know, we are talking in the, you know, in $1 million, $2 million or so fiscal impact from these heat events. The exact amount won't be known until we get more certain data on the load. Unfortunately, actual settlement meter data lags behind the close of the month by some time. But I can come back to the board and give more detailed analysis of the fiscal impact should you desire. But, you know, the takeaway there is that, you know, it was an unfortunate event. It does happen in the energy industry that we have hot summers. And so, you know, that sort of event has to be considered with the rest of the sort of levers and items that the DC board has in its control and outside of its control in order to maintain fiscal health of the program overall. So this last slide is just meant to discuss the fiscal risks that, you know, as we look forward into the fall, hopefully no more major heat events this year. You know, what things are we thinking about that could impact the program's fiscal health, and, you know, how can we potentially help avoid those, or, you know, take other actions to ensure that the program remains healthy. So the first item here is the load forecast. So far, the load forecast has been coming in relatively accurate for DCE's program. And in general, you know, the more on your load forecast is, so the actuals that load that come in, the lower costs you see. Not always the case, but generally the case. You want to have your load forecast be pretty accurate. Over the spring, it was generally accurate. It's something that always needs to be fiddled with a little bit during a program startup in the first year, or even the first couple of years. Right now we have actual data for June, and that's showing some higher deviations between what was forecasted, what was estimated meter data, and then what the actual meter data came in much later. So that's something that T is monitoring, and we'll likely adjust the forecast as we get more summer data coming in. And as I mentioned, the fiscal impact here is just that if your load forecast is very off compared to what your actual meters are showing, there can be unexpected financial impacts. Not always negative, but generally not ideal. Another thing that is more out of control of DCE is just the SCE generation rates and the PCIA. Those are the two components that make up the rates or impact the rates that your customers see. Due to the heat events, the forecasted SCE generations are up compared to where we were thinking they were. So SCE, generally speaking, is not particularly well hedged as a program. So when they had, when the heat events happened, they incurred greater costs comparatively than DCE did because of their unhedged position. The expectation is that generation rates will have to increase in order to account for those costs that they incurred over the summer and September heat events. As another note, the PCIA, which is the power cost indifference adjustment, which is collected for departing loads such as DCE's loads, is expected to increase in January 2021. Exactly how much it will increase is a little uncertain at this time, and the amount it increases actually might be slightly decreased due to the heat event. But overall, that represents an increased cost to the program and a concern for fiscal impact. The third bullet is what I would say is the item that is most within the board's control in terms of considering the levers that you have to maintain fiscal health. So as we've been discussing over the past year in the lead up to the program going live in April, the target all-in rate premium for carbon-free product is roughly 5 to 9% above SCE all-in rates. In order to fully account and to begin to develop reserves that will allow you to weather these sort of heat events that we just had occur. Right now, the current all-in rate premium is less than half of that target band. And so what that means for the program is that the amount of reserves that you might hope to grow is not occurring as quickly as we might otherwise hope. And so that impact to the program is just that, without those reserves, you have less ability to have, programs within your community and less ability to weather these sort of heat events in the future should we have hotter summers. And that is the last of my slides. I believe Dawn was going to join for this final slide.
Yes, thank you, Jacqueline, and good afternoon, board members. I thought it might be fruitful to follow up Jacqueline's presentation with just a general financial overview. This is going to be probably pro forma to most of you, but it is, I think it is useful to keep these objectives in mind as you continue to run Desert Community Energy. Did we just lose the slide? Are you going to continue showing your screen, Jacqueline?
Yeah, sorry about that. I pushed the button and I'm stop sharing. One moment. Sorry, my Microsoft PowerPoint needs to restart. It'll just be one moment, apologies.
Is it coming back up or do you want me to load up mine?
It is coming back up.
Staff is going to share.
There we are. Situation normal. Thank you, Jacqueline. The first and foremost rule of any business, as you folks are well aware, is revenue sufficiency. The short-term economic language for that is total revenues meet or exceed total costs. That gives your business the ability to meet all its financial obligations and continue onward into the future. And most of these points, by the way, are complementary, but some of them actually compete with each other, and decision makers often wrestle with some decisions because what's good for one objective may negate the ability to be fully successful in another objective. Another item that the DCE wants to be is competitive in the sense of providing community power means providing current and future value that meets or exceeds your customer's next best option. And your customer's next best option is to continue bundled service with Southern California Edison. Currently, you are providing additional value to your customers versus Edison's same products that are being consumed by your customers. Customer equity is kind of a catch-all for treating all your customers fairly. And treating all your customers fairly doesn't necessarily mean treating all your customers equally. Different customer classes, commercial, industrial, residential, impose different costs to supply energy, and fairly allocating those costs to the customers that are causing those costs is the equitable approach from a utility perspective. Reserves, a very central objective of any company, and especially an infant utility like Desert Community Energy. Reserves give you the ability to act and react to uncertainty. They give you a very useful buffer to preserve and continue operating, even in the face of what can be some very adverse events. That reserve capability ties very much with the next two bullets, resilience. Prepare for and respond to uncertainty. When we prepare a budget, do an annual or a monthly forecast of what we think is going to happen from a load and cost perspective and what the overall financial results might be for DCE, it is your staff's and consultants' best reasonable effort to anticipate what they think will happen. They will inevitably be wrong. They will either be too conservative or possibly a little too liberal. In the case of August this last year, we saw that we had some dramatically high prices, and that had a negative effect on the overall economics for DCE. You prepared for it with hedges, but you didn't prepare for 100% of the impact that those high August prices had. And no utility, to my knowledge, did. It's part and parcel of being in this business, and it's one reason why you have reserve funds available. Having resilience, reserves, and revenue sufficiency leads to, over time, an investment grade credit rating. This is really imperative, in my opinion, for public power. one of your aces in the hole is the ability to 100% debt finance power projects and or possibly prepay for some of your long-term energy contracts using bonded debt. Your cost of debt with good credit as we speak is in the 2.25% to 3% range versus if Southern California Edison were to try to do the same thing, its overall cost of debt, overall cost of capital is in the 8% range. On a $25 million debt issue, that would result in well over $1 million a year benefit to your customers. So you can see that having ample reserves, revenue sufficiency, resilience, and attaining that investment grade credit rating can indeed pay substantial dividends to your customers over time. Efficiency, encourage conservation, staff only as necessary, hire quality consultants and vendors, and don't overstaff, staff sufficient as necessary to do the job at hand. Responsibility, promote environmental sustainability. Desert Community Energy took a giant leap in that direction when it established a 100% carbon-free product for the Palm Springs community. Community, again, the second major benefit of public power is the ability to respond to local energy needs based on what you see on the ground and on upon receipt of input from your customers. And then at the end of the day, what we're doing now and what your vendors and your staff do for you each and every day is we do actions. We perform pursuant to the board policies and objectives that you establish to achieve the benefits for the members of your community and all of the current Palm Springs customers. So that's just a slight refresher. But all of these elements constitute a well-run utility, in my opinion. And as a sidebar here, kudos to the board and management of DCE as it exists, for my opinion. I think you're doing just a fabulous job.
Great. Thank you, both of you, for that presentation. Questions and comments from board members? Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah, please.
Chair.
Yes, please.
Thank you. So thank you, Jacqueline and Don, for the presentation. I just have a question about the hedge process. And can you explain to me, and I may have missed this somewhere, how the hedge process is priced? In other words, how do we pay for a hedge? How is that estimated? Just more detail on the whole hedge process, because as you pointed out, it seems like it's something that is not necessarily completely predictable. So I'm wondering how you get your hands around a budgeting issue relative to a hedge. Thank you.
Sure. So the hedging process is something that T recommends be procured on a regular basis. And this is a method that ensures that it's basically not trying to play the market, but just try to place on the hedging protection via its, insurance benefit in a ratable approach. So hedges are an instrument that you buy, and you buy them ahead of time. The market, depending on what exact time period you're looking for, can trade up to a year or even longer in advance. So for example, right now we could go out and buy hedges for next August for just the month for the whole Q3 of 2021, for the whole year of 2021. So you can buy different time periods. As I mentioned during the presentation, you can buy this on peak. So those are the main hours when you expect to have higher loads. Not including Sunday or holidays, or you can buy off-peak, which are those night hours, very early morning hours, and then Sunday and holidays as well. So the str- strategy that he generally recommends to his clients is to, you know, go out to the market on a regular basis, you know, not every week, not necessarily every month, but on a regular basis, to go out and buy a little bit of the hedges that you expect to need in order to get too close to, if not slightly above, your expected load in any particular month. And the reason that we utilize this strategy is that, you know, when you go out to buy hedges, the hedging price can change. So, for example, when we were looking at what hedges were trading for in September, right after the mid-August heat event, like any other market, you know, the market was kind of running a little scared. There'd been this massive heat event, and everyone was like, okay, well, I need to get a hedge on for September, because what if more heating events happen? So the price for hedges in September shot up. You know, that would have been probably a very poor time to put on a whole bunch of September hedges. So rather than, you know, just looking forward to next month, we look forward to the next year, even the year after, and think about, you know, slowly putting on more and more hedges until you get to the total amount of hedging that is appropriate for the program in that particular time period. And, you know, that means that you aren't necessarily buying them at the cheapest, but you aren't also, you know, buying everything at the highest point in the market either. Does that help answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Great. Okay. Good question, because I was going to ask something similar, and I appreciate the answer, which covered anything what I was going to ask. So, Mr. Jonathan.
Thank you, Mayor. And again, like John, I apologize if I missed this. I think I've been developing a case of a Zoom attention disorder or something. You know, it's like it's getting harder and harder to focus on all these nonstop endless Zoom meetings. So I apologize if I missed this. So Don, in terms of your slide, I think, which was excellent, stating the objectives and reminding us of our job, essentially. I'm wondering, and as it relates to Jacqueline's slides that showed the spiking of costs, I'm wondering how DCE costs compared to Edison. Does anyone know the answer to that? Have we taken a look at that? Because, you know, the spiking in costs is not an absolute phenomenon, right? What matters is how do we perform in relation to our customer's alternative, which is Edison.
Yes. You know, candidly, if the absolute value of power costs really drove consumer activities in California, almost everybody would live in Santa Clara. Because they have the lowest they basically have the lowest residential electric rates in California. Well,
I'm just wondering, is that lower than IID? Because we think that IID is pretty darn low.
IID is about 12 cents a kilowatt hour. They are less than half of Southern California Edison as we speak. Some of IID's commercial industrial rates are somewhat higher than their residential rates.
Sorry, I interrupted you. Please go ahead.
Okay, but you picked up an important point. It's really, power costs really are a relative thing. Your customers, as Jacqueline pointed out, are receiving 100% carbon-free product right now at about 4-5% overall cost premium versus Edison's base product, and less than Edison's 100% carbon-free product. In terms, you asked what happens in August and what other companies do, to kind of vary a little bit on Jacqueline's response to hedging, you could simply ride the market, not buy any power in advance, and you would simply pay the average of market cost for every hour over the month in which your customers were consuming energy. So when prices were $1,500, you'd have been paying $1,500 for every kilowatt hour you sold in that hour. But when you buy a hedge just says, I'm going to buy power in advance. Instead of waiting until August to buy power, by the time July comes around, I'm going to have, based on board recommendations and approval, I'll have 80% of what I think I'm going to need in August. But base, and you still don't expect prices to spike, but you bought 80% of what you need at a price that was determined in July. And as Jacqueline said, you paid a little bit of premium because the folks that sold you that power in July didn't know there were going to be a price spike in August. For the sellers, they'd have just as soon not have sold you that, not have sold you that generation in July that you consumed in August and taken and participated in those sales at $1,500. Okay, as a seller, we always know higher price is better than a lower price. But the sellers don't know. But when they dedicate a certain amount of their energy to you in July for August delivery, you will pay a slight premium for that because they are getting the certainty of making a sale, but they've given up the opportunity to participate in a higher price market. Just like you, you've paid a little bit of a premium for price certainty. You've given up the opportunity to participate in a lower price market. And it balances out. And there's no one right approach to hedging. It evolves over time based on seasonal prices, load variation, and basically also how much cash you have on hand to help sustain some type of a price volatility period.
Yeah. Hey, Donna, and I apologize if I didn't clearly state my question. I understand the concept of hedging, at least to the extent it's similar to hedging in the financial markets. But my question really is, did our ratepayers, Palm Springs ratepayers, end up paying, let's just say for August, did they end up paying less than they would have had they stuck with Edison or more?
No,
your DCE rates compared to Edison in August.
Yeah, there's two components of that. The short answer is yes, they paid less than their Edison counterparts based on the existing rates that are on the table as we speak. Edison, as Jacqueline indicated, is less hedged than you were. So Edison customers at some point down the road are going to pay the cost of August, even though they're not going to pay it during the month of August. Edison has a balancing account. They will recapture those costs at a later date, and their customers will pay those costs. The same is, and from that aspect, the same is true for DCE customers. To the extent August costs were greater than we expected, and your rates were based on costs that were less than what actually happened in August, at some point in time, your customers will have to catch up and compensate for those costs. But you were much better hedged than Edison, so the catch-up for your customers will be significantly less than the catch-up for Southern California Edison customers.
Yeah, but really good answer, Don. The only one nuance I would add to that also is that Edison does have a large number of resources in its portfolio, which, as I mentioned, provide a slight hedge in that they are putting energy onto the grid at the same time that Edison's load is consuming it. So they don't go out to the market generally and buy hedges the same way that CCAs do, but they do have that generation aspect to their hedging of hedges in their portfolio.
So this is Jeff, and thank you for that savvy, because it was important that just, you know, our rates were set, so we maintained those even though there might have been extra costs, which is, of course, one of the benefits of having this program is we have that ability to do that and to keep, to the extent we can continue, rates lower in both programs and the comparable Edison programs. And I assume as we and I know it's the next item, so I don't want to get ahead, but just as it relates to this one, as we start having our renewable resources that we're going to be talking about next, that will help us in the future as well. Is that, because I think that's going to save us $60+ million over 15, 20 years for our customers.
Yeah, so that value is coming from reduced expected costs from buying energy to meet DC's load, as well as, you know, the reduced costs in buying renewable RECs in the short-term market versus in the long-term market.
Great, thank you. Any other questions or comments? And this is not an action item, so this is your chance. Okay, thank you both so much. And we'll move on to 6B, and I think Jacqueline, you're staying with us for this one. And this is about the DC long-term renewable energy procurement, which we've discussed before, but this one will include actually some action. So if you could do your presentation, that would be appreciated.
Sure, and actually there's no presentation to go along with the staff report and this action item. It's just, you know, relatively straightforward discussion. So the action item that I believe is in front of the board, the recommendation is to authorize the executive director of DCE to adjust the scope of contract negotiations with, of course, any final contracts being brought back to the DCE board for approval at the future meeting. And the context of this request is that, as we discussed earlier this summer, DCE had a very good showing in its RFO, and we decided to go ahead with beginning negotiations with three developers with board approval for four different projects. Following that board approval, we began those negotiations as well as developing a final PPA template that we would be negotiating over. One of the developers, Clearway, determined that one of the requirements of the DCE RFO, where we were looking for certain agreements to take place under that PPA, was something that they weren't willing to go down. And so we terminated negotiations with them pretty early on. It was, a point that we had made very clear in the RFO and in the term sheet. And it's just something that, I guess they didn't really think it was that important to focus on until we got down further negotiations and then became a sticking point.
Can I ask a question on that? Which one is that and where was it located?
Sure. Clearway was one of the solar and storage projects, and it was the one that was located in Riverside County.
Okay.
So the other one was Blair County.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Given the fact that Clearway has essentially, Clearway and Clearway's project, Victory Pass, has essentially, fallen out of the grouping of resources that we're contracting with, we're seeking board approval to potentially discuss other projects that TerraGen and Lendlease, the two other developers that we are negotiating with already, have in their portfolio that might be also suitable projects for DCE. The goal there would be to find projects similar in nature, if possible, to the Clearway project that would allow for DCE to get to roughly the same amount of long-term renewable procurement that we were expecting to do under the previous slate of the three developers and the four projects.
Okay. Any questions, comments?
I have no questions.
One of the pluses, of course, which is why I asked, I'm glad that the two win ones that are in the Coachella Valley are moving forward, because there are jobs that come with that as well as the huge cost savings. So this other one, which I know wasn't in the valley, but wasn't that far. Just as we look at that, of course, I know that's one of the priorities as well as the lowest cost energy we can provide. So we'll look forward to hearing more and appreciate the update. And with that, we'll move on to 6C. This will be an update.
I think
we need to move the item.
Oh, I totally forgot. Yes.
I'll move the recommendation for 6B.
Sorry.
Yeah, second.
Okay. A motion from Cathedral City, second from Palm Desert. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Now we'll move to Katie Barrows.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to let you all know as a brief item that we will plan to include our community advisory committee members who assisted us in the original evaluation, David Friedman and Noel Loughran, in this discussion about these other projects. So I want you to be aware of that. And that's great. All I have. Next item.
Thank you so much. And this is also you. So it's an update on our post-launch activities for DCE. So thanks, Katie.
Great. So in the interest of time, I'm going to be very brief and just give you the opportunity to ask questions. We do have a quick summary. I think the launch, I think we have already discussed, proceeded as well as could be expected. We do, as Samara alluded, continue to have questions from individuals, and we are doing our best to respond to those. And it's always our best option, if we can, to actually speak to folks and help them to understand their own bills. So please feel free to continue to refer those calls to us. We are at this time also looking at some updates and information on our website. The heat wave, of course, continues to be a concern, and we just want to remind our customers that they can not only help with the load, but also save money when they reduce their energy. And we'll be featuring more energy saving tips on our website. The opt-down and opt-out statistics are presented for your information. I think we are now at a little over 10%, and that appears to be pretty consistent with what we're seeing in other CCAs during this challenging economic time. We've talked about the heat wave already. I did also want to let you know that one of the things that we are taking a look at, we're starting to evaluate some of the programs that might be a potential for DCE to offer. Certainly the financial reserves and that aspect will be a primary goal, but given that it takes time to put programs in place, we're doing some research and we anticipate having discussions about potential programs both with this Community Advisory Committee and with you. And I do want to also just note briefly before I turn it over if there's any questions, we want to continue the presentations like the one today from Jacqueline and Dawn, and that will be coming up at future meetings. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Great. Any questions for members?
No questions.
Okay. Thank you very much. So the next item will be public comment on non-agenda items. This amount of time is set for people to address the committee on items not on the agenda but are within the purview of the committee. Please limit your comments to 2 minutes. Ms. Maros, do we have anyone?
Before I go, see any hands raised? Yep. If anybody wants to make a comment on the phone, they should push *9, but I do not see any hands raised. Tricia, is that the case? No comments? I don't see anyone. We're good.
Okay. Next item is announcements. So our next meeting, which as of now will still be on Zoom, is set for Monday, October 19th, 2020 at 2:30 p.m. And if there's nothing else, we will adjourn the meeting and note the time for the record. Mr. Jonathan.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, thank you. I apologize. Real quick, just to point out, it is in our packet that we are moving forward with an audit of the books of the CCA, and I want to thank Mr. DeLong for moving that forward and look forward to positive results.
Great, thank you. Okay, and with that, we are adjourned. Have a great rest of the day, everyone.
And you thanks too. For everyone tuned in. See you in our next meeting.
Next meeting.